More news stories now, including how a city street has seen a build-up of waste leading to rats blighting the area. A city stalwart is finally celebrated in a memorial service. And today's university freshers are ditching the booze for mocktails. First, Norwich is seeing a spike in visitors to the city.
Hotels in Norwich are chock-a-block as people flock to the city for mini-breaks. Hotels in the city are rammed for months ahead, with some not having any rooms until after Christmas. Experts have put the spike in tourists to the fine city down to ongoing nervousness about foreign travel. So instead, folks from across the UK are flocking to our city for mini-breaks. Tourism expert Chris Scargill said, "We are very lucky. Norwich is a central location and people use it as a hub to go north and east Norfolk, the Broads or the Brecks." And he also believes that dear old Dippy the Dinosaur played his part. Stefan Gurney, executive director for the Norwich Business Improvement District, BID, said city footfall is down overall compared to pre-pandemic levels due to hybrid working and fewer people in the office. But, he said, visitors' numbers are increasing, with the Visit Norwich website up 30% from September 2019. Mr. Gurney said, "It's very positive for the city because people are spending more in the wider economy, not just in hotels."
Plans have been approved for a roundabout and access roads to serve a controversial new development on the edge of Norwich. The link road will be located on land north and south of Plumstead Road between Green Lane North and Dussindale Drive in Thorpe End. A redesigned junction was drawn up by the County Council to provide a four-arm roundabout and access road through the land to the north of Plumstead Road. The new junction will serve 300 new homes at Brook Farm and Laurel Farm, but concerns have been raised over the installation of the junctions resulting in the removal of trees and vegetation. Newly elected Broadland District Councillor Ellen Laming, who represents the Green Party, said, "It's totally unsatisfactory to be removing trees to put new homes in. An alternative brownfield could be used, as the removal of woodland is not only reducing carbon dioxide but also habitat, including bats. Quite a lot of deer have been killed on the roads since the woods came down." Environmental consultant Enims carried out a bat roost survey for the application, which said bat boxes should be installed on retained trees and adverse impacts on the local bat population are not anticipated. Mrs. Laming said the neighbours fear the approved £700,000 roundabout will open up the woods for future development. County Councillor Ian Mackey said the scheme forms part of Broadland District Council's growth strategy for the expansion of Broadland Business Park and the new homes at Brook Farm. He added, "Hopefully this roundabout and road networks will unlock the long-anticipated development of new homes and deliver the new road to finally close Green Lane in order to make that a designated green travel route." Mr. Mackey described the loss of trees as unfortunate.
A rat-blighted homeowner said he felt fobbed off by the council when calling to complain. Residents around Prince of Wales Road and Tombland have been blighted by rats, some as large as cats. People living on St Faith's Lane, which runs behind Prince of Wales Road, said they were unsure how rats were getting in, with exterminators saying they might be getting in by climbing up drain pipes. "There was rubbish left there for ages. It just kept building up," said Justin Neal, who lives on St Faith's Lane. "There was a rat's nest under all the rubbish and they were getting into people's houses. We contacted the council about it a while ago when they were coming into my workshop," he added. Mr. Neal said he had seen fewer rats since the waste was cleared, with some removed earlier in the week. Mr. Neal added it was disappointing that the council would cover over Black Lives Matter street art within 24 hours of a complaint, but when he reports waste or rats, he was told it was noted or to report it on their website. He added, "We're utterly fobbed off." Other St. Faith's residents, who asked not to be named, said they and their neighbours had rats running around in their ceiling, while another said one had leapt out from a kitchen cupboard. Residents, whose homes did not back onto the businesses, seemed to have avoided the issue, with Chris Wright saying they had not had an issue in years.
A second outbreak of COVID-19 to hit Norwich's prison has now passed, the Ministry of Justice has said. In August, it was confirmed that HMP Norwich had become the victim of a second outbreak of COVID cases following a lengthy fight with cases over the winter of 2020. During the second national wave of the virus, around 600 inmates and 250 members of staff caught the virus while either serving time or working within the prison walls.
Students are heading back to bars and clubs in their thousands this month, but they're not getting bladdered. Ticket sales for Norwich welcome events have spiked 110% this year compared with 2019, as 2 years' worth of students experience Freshers' Week for the first time. But despite data from ticketing platform Fixer showing pent-up demand, students aren't using Return to Clubland to binge drink. "It's no longer cool," said Keir Slater, who is the manager of Mr. Apostle's Apothecary in Tombland and runs student night Get Loose at Karma Cafe on Wednesdays. 8 or 9 years ago, there was this real culture of binge drinking, but it's kind of frowned upon now. "I very rarely have to throw people out for being too drunk. I think some of it is down to what people see in the press about women being attacked when they're drunk, and they don't want to make themselves vulnerable. In years gone by, we've had issues with sports teams being banned from city clubs. There's none of that now. If there's an issue, we speak to the committee and it's sorted straight away." He added that for the first time, students are asking for alcohol-free drinks as part of promotional events. "I'd never considered it before, but recently, an event we held with NUA, we saw a lot of people asking for their promotional drinks as mocktails."
A celebration dedicated to the life of a much-loved Norwich figure has taken place almost a year after his death. Third-generation flour miller Brian Coleman Reed died at the age of 95 in October 2020. But because of COVID restrictions, it has taken a year for his enormous legacy to be fully appreciated at a public gathering. Made a CBE by the Queen in 1983 for his services to the milling industry and a Deputy Lieutenant of Norfolk in 1986, there were few walks of country life that Mr. Reed did not contribute to. More than 200 people were able to gather at Norwich Cathedral to give thanks for all he did during his life and finally pay their respects to him. In a ceremony led by Canon Andy Bryant, memories of Mr. Reed were shared as family, friends and other well-wishers paid him their respects. Born in Norwich in 1925, Mr. Reed was one of the first pupils of Town Close School, where he continued a lifetime of connection. He was recognised as a leader in his industry and twice served as president of the National Association of British and Irish Millers. He was also a passionate supporter of the Broads, spending a decade as president of the Broads Society and was a founder of the Norfolk and Suffolk Broads Charitable Trusts. Our first feature is written by Derek James, who looks back at a world-famous chocolate factory. Your reader is Sarah Lusher.